Good morning, brother and sister. It's great to be here to celebrate with you the 35th anniversary of New Covenant Alliance Church. On behalf of all the CCACA churches across Canada, I would like to bring you greetings. Happy birthday. When I prepared a sermon, an image came clearly into my mind. It's something like a small plant, a budding or burst out through the crack of layer of asphalt on top of it. It's something we see often in our driveway. I believe it's because of the power of life, it won't be kept or contained for long. Looking back, we've been kept or contained for over years already due to the pandemic. I think it's about time for us to break through for His glory. The theme of our sermon this morning is the church God blesses. It's based on Acts chapter 11, 19 to 30. We're not going to read it here because I believe we have scripture reading before the sermon. People have different ideas about the churches in the New Testament. Some people really liked early church in Acts 2, a church of Jerusalem. And some people liked the church of Philippi, the Philippian church. Because since day one, this church has been very faithful, partnering with Paul in his missionary journey. But for myself personally, I really like the church of Antioch, because I find that God did amazing things about this church. So here I would like to describe a little bit about this church and how they experience holistic growth, growth in different ways. First of all, we look in the growth in numbers. In verse 21, it talks about a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord. We know that the founding of the Church of Antioch is due to the persecution in Jerusalem. As recorded in Acts chapter 8, because of persecution, disciples in Jerusalem, they spread out, they scatter and different place in Palestine. And then some people come to Antioch. And praise to God, this believer, they are not giving up. They are not despair because of persecution. Instead, they keep on faithful and very fervent in spreading gospel. As a result, many new converts coming to know Christ and join the church there. So the first of all, we see the growth in number. And secondly, we also find the growth in spiritual depth. In verse 26, here the Bible said, the disciples were called Christian first at Antioch. We are called Christian first at Antioch. So it's simply like that. The gospel is not just reach out to the new converts, they gladly receive it. This gospel truly transformed their life inside out. As a result, the change, the new life among these Christians is evidence among the community. And people find that, oh, this group of people, they're different. They are Christ followers. They are Christian. So praise to God. And third, they are not just grow in number and spiritual depth, they also grow in terms of workers. Nowadays, it's really hard to find people to serve at a church, particularly in those committed or heavy loaded positions. It's really hard to find people to serve in the church board as elders, as deacons, or as small group leaders. So whether you can find enough co-workers or helpers is a sign of church healthiness. So here, talk about verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When the growth it happens in Antioch, the news get back to the church in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem sent Barnabas over there to see what's going on. And then when Barnabas arrived, he see a lot of God's blessing over there. And sooner or later, he find that he alone cannot meet the need there. So he just went to Tarsus and looked for Saul, what's called later Paul, to come and help out. So praise to God, there's also growth in terms of co-workers. And last but not least is growth in ministry. When I'm talking about ministry, it's not just new ministry. What I'm highlighting here is more like a new wineskin type of ministry. It's kind of paradigm shift. I would like to highlight two things here. The first one is verse 20. Here talk about some of them. However, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greek, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Before they spread the gospel mainly within the kinsmen, the Jews. But here, very obviously, they stretch beyond that. They are not just spreading the gospel among the Jews, they also reach out to the Greeks. The Greeks here is not those Jews who speak in Greek. They are actually the Gentiles. So praise to God. They keep breaking through new ground and to reach out to the Gentile. And second passage I would like to highlight is chapter 13, the first few verses. When the church leader, when they gather together and pray and fast, and the Holy Spirit presence among them, and the Holy Spirit clearly indicate sending out Barnabas and Saul out for mission. So missions began at Church of Antioch. So we find that this church bring out new breakthrough in different ways. So it's really wonderful. Now today, when we celebrate the 35th anniversary of New Covenant, definitely we would look back. We count God's blessings, how God has been blessing us all through this 35 years. But also at a time in the anniversary, we want to look forward. What's next? Will the Church of Antioch be something that be our model, something our vision that we want to be, we learn from the Church of Antioch? So I talk about church growth. We can learn from different way. We can do a swap test. We can do something like a church growth strategy. We can learn something from the 70s, the church growth movement. We can learn something about the 80s and the 90s about church health, when they talk about healthy pastor, healthy church. And then we also can learn something from the missional church, end of 20th century. Nowadays, we talk about church network, talk about organic church. Well, those are good theory and good relevant information that can help us to look back and live forward. But this morning, I would like to highlight something in the Church of Antioch in our passage. We want to find out what's the reason or the secret for the church growth at Antioch. We look at verse 21. Here the Bible said, "The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord." Here mentioned a very simple reason. The Lord's hand was with them. If I use Good News Bible, here mentioned about Lord's hand is basically the Lord's power. The Lord's power is with them. For the Chinese versions, the translation is something like that. God is with them, or God's presence with them. So it's a simple reason. So when I look at that, I find it looked at the church growth in a different perspective. Yeah, church is not just an organization. Church is more an organism. It's a community of God's people together, supporting one another, and also to be commissions for the Great Commission together. And church growth or ministry is not basically just human initiative. Ministry is actually a spiritual warfare. How can we fight this war without the help of God? So we have to look deeper. What does it mean by God's hands with them, God's power with them? So we look at the meaning of God's blessings, just like the Chinese translations, God's blessings with them, such the result that a lot of people come to know Christ. We can look in the different passage of image. One from the Old Testament in Exodus 25. Here talk about, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." God's presence, basically, just like in the Old Testament, God dwell among his people in the tabernacle and later in the temple. So God's presence, basically, God is with us. And secondly, in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Here talk about the God placed all things under his feet and appoint him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Here talk about the church basically is body of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. And in the John 15:5, talk about, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So when we're looking about God's presence, it's not just simply God is here with us. God's presence talk about a close relationship. We are always close to God, abide in him. And secondly, God is in charge. God is God. We are his people. Jesus is the head of the church. We are different part of the body connecting to one another. But we are obeying to the leadership of Christ. And third and last but not least, we draw strength from him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So the presence of God is not simply, oh, God is here or whatever. It's a closeness, a close relationship with God. And then he's in charge. He's the sovereign Lord. We are just here to follow and obey. And last but not least, we always draw strength from him. Well, this image or this analogy is coincides with something I read recently, an article from Henry Lowen. The title is From Solitude to Community to Ministry. It's often when we look in the church needs, the need of ministry, we just jump into it. And that's just, okay, we love the church. We love serving the Lord. We just come and serve. And then sooner or later, we find that we're draining, we're burnout, we feel depressed. And then we just cry out, God, why you put me here? I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. But here, Henry referred to Luke chapter 6, where Jesus chose the 12 disciples. We find that the pattern or the sequence of Jesus is not something like we do often, start with ministry. In Jesus' pattern, it starts with solitude. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus spent a whole night with God in prayer. And then afterward, among all his disciples, he chose the 12 and called them apostle. And then Jesus began to spend a lot of time with them, empowering them, equipping them. And this 12 disciples, this 12 apostles became the community of Jesus. And then afterward, Jesus sent them two by two, go out, heal the sickness, cast demons, and spread the gospel of the kingdom. So from Jesus' pattern is solitude, community, and then ministry, not the other way around. But nowadays, we always start with ministry, and then easily we just tip, you know, it's just too overwhelming. So what is solitude? Solitude is basically we spend time with God alone, where we come close to him, where we understand more about his will, his leading upon us individually and for the church as a whole. And it's where we draw strength from. So it's very important when we build the foundation right. As I said earlier, it's a spiritual warfare. It's nothing we can just do by our own planning, our own initiative that we can achieve the mission. We have always relied on it. Maybe when I say something like that, you still find it very conceptual. We don't know what to do. So here I would like to quote a few promises from the Bible. Promise in a way that if we do it this way, according to God's promise, because it's faithful, he's going to be with us so that we know that we're doing the right thing. We're on the right track, that we can be close to him and draw strength from him. So a few scripture I would like to read to you. The first one we are very, very much familiar with. It's Matthew 28, 19 to 20, the Great Commission. Here the scripture said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, here, pay attention, I am with you always to the very end of ages. So that means if we do the first part, we continue to come meet in the Great Commissions. We continue to spread the gospel, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then God is faithful. He's gonna do what He promises to be with us always. So look at the Church of Antioch. They are just doing something like that. Even the persecution, they are not despair. They continue to fervent in spreading the gospel. As a result, God's with them. God bless them. And a second promise is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. So here talk about the Greek commandment. Just like in John chapter 13, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you love one another, and everybody know that you are my disciple. So if we love one another, God is faithful. He's going to do what He's promised. He will live in us. As also as clearly here in the Church of Antioch. The Church is of Antioch is a really a loving community. As we said, in Antioch, they are not spreading the gospel just within their kinsmen, among the Jews. They spread the gospel even to the Gentile. If we look at chapter 13, when they gathered together among the leaders, we find the leaders, they come from different cultural background as well as different classes. And yet, because of the gospel, they gathered together in one mind. They truly love one another. Just like the Chinese church today, we have Cantonese speaking, English speaking, Mandarin speaking. As I said always, if these people can get along, you know, love truly one another as one body, it's a very powerful witness already. People will know that how come they can do it this way? It's just because we truly follow God's command that we love one another as Christ, how Christ loves us, we love one another. And the second one is evident about the Church of Antioch, that they are a truly loving community. It's in the later part, talk about one of the prophet. His name is Agabus. And then he prophesied that severe famine is coming to spread over the entire Roman world. As a matter of fact, it truly happens later in the reign of Claudius. And then this church, Antioch church, even they are new church. They are really obeying this about this prophecy. They prepare themselves. They really do give according to their capacity and to support the church in Jerusalem. So again, this church is truly a loving community. As they do their part, God is faithful. So God lives among them. And the third promise we talk about in John chapter 14, verse 23. Here Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Jesus said, those who love me will obey my teaching. Now here, pay attention, obey my teaching, follow what I teach. It's not just listen, I know, but here is obey. We know it and we follow in it. The same thing, we find that this church, Antioch, is truly practice what they learn, what they heard. In verse 26, here the Acts chapter 11, here it mentions, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Talk about Saul. Barnabas went over there to Tarsus to invite Saul to come over to help out. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met at the church and taught great numbers of people. And then the result, the disciples were called Christian first at Antioch. So basically, because of Barnabas and Saul, their teaching over there for a year. As a result, these people, they grow, not just in the biblical knowledge, but this knowledge truly transformed their life. Their life not the same anymore. And because of that, disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. So we find that all in all, in this Church of Antioch, no matter it's the Great Commission, no matter it's Great Commandment, and no matter whether it's truly to follow and obey what the Bible teach, it's very true and evidence happened in this church. And as a result, why? They experience such a holistic, tremendous growth. It's as simple as that. So it's a basically talk about solitude. When we come close to God and following his leadership, he's our sovereign Lord, and we withdraw strength from him, and our life will not be the same anymore. And then God bless us, and God bless this church. And this church became a powerful witness in the city of Antioch and beyond. And nowadays, we are facing a different context. I look in what's happening nowadays around us, not just in Canada, around the world. The pandemic truly bring a lot of disruptions, impacts, and uncertainty, not only to our health, and also to the economy. But in addition to the pandemic, we are now facing a very polarized world, too extreme. A lot of argument, and a lot of different opinion, and a lot of different ideologies. And people are just fighting one another. I'm not sure whether any of you are from Hong Kong. Hong Kong talk about the pro-government and against government groups of people and bring a lot of chaos. And here in US, we have the Republican and the Democrat. And even nowadays in US and Canada, we talk about anti-Asian racism. So nowadays we have a lot of tensions, conflict, even animosity among different groups of people. And it's not just happening in the greater community. It also happened in a family, at church. So I would agree that nowadays it's even harder to minister. It's harder to serve, harder to lead the church than before. But when I look into it, it's more challenging, but also at the same time, it's more opportunity for us to make a difference. Because the world is just exactly like that. Like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first verse. Paul said, but mark this, there were terrible times in the last day. We're exactly in the last days. But exactly because the world is something like that, even at home, even at church, then we have to live a new life in Christ. Our gospel is just not something we enjoy ourselves and kept it within the four walls of the church. This gospel will transform our life and truly turn us inside out. And in this world, we make a difference from what's happening around the world. Just like the analogy I made earlier, if there's life, the power of life, it won't be kept or contained by the layer of asphalt on top of it. It will break through. It will burst out. When I prepared this, a prayer of St. Francis just came into my mind. In the prayer of St. Francis said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. It's exactly at this time, at this context, so many tension, conflict, animosity. We need peace. And our Lord Jesus is the peacemaker, the ultimate peacemaker, to bring peace between the Father and the whole world. And we are his disciple. We are also his follower in this way. So St. Francis said, where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. Yes, it's challenging, but at the same time, it's also a great opportunity for us to make a difference by the grace of God, by the power of this gospel. So I really want to bless you, bless New Covenant. You experienced God's blessings over 35 years. What's next? Would you like to be the Church of Antioch? To make a difference? To bring holistic growth among yourself? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all your blessings. Yes, it's not an easy moment in our current context. So many tensions, so many conflicts, so many hostility among people. And it's exactly in this context, there's a need for the gospel. So Father, help us to be a church like Antioch, to be a person just like the early believers, even though they face persecution, they be scattered around, but they're not giving up. They continue to come close to you, call you God, and draw strength from you, and you make them a difference. Today, we pray, we ask for your help too. Dwell among us, lead us, and empower us for your glory. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.